thought projection is a very powerful thing, and this is why we say meditate. This is why we say clear your thoughts. This is why we say have mindfulness. This is why we say cut the ribbons with the sword. This is why we do energy movements through our body, because it removes outside faculties that are affecting your consciousness, and all of them are thought-based. Every last one of the things that we've discussed are thought-based. They originated from someone who's thought and created it. And when they project this bulk of energy out, it is a complex ribbon of life. It's a program. It has a full spectrum of what its intentions and desires are. And what better can it be of a design than it being pre-prepped and pre-designed to be input into you? In other words, it is like a mother bird and its chicks. The mother bird goes out and it eats food. It digests it somewhat in its stomach, and when it's half processed, it regurgitates it so that the babies can eat it. The babies could not eat it normally because they don't have the properties or the enzymes or the acidities or whatever it takes to digest that food. When a person creates a certain invocation of emotion of what they want and broadcasts it to you, you absorb it not knowing what the real spectrum of its intentions are. You just simply react to it. It's your biological brain does not have the properties to decipher it so easily unless you're trained to filter these things out or to acknowledge or recognize them. And this is what makes them very lethal. Again, it goes back to the very beginning of what I said. If you do not know you're being preyed upon, then you are a victim of non-awareness. You're a victim by the sheer fact that you don't have, you're not on guard. You're not thinking that you have to have your consciousness at a level that you should be in check with yourself. You're reacting and experiencing something that may not be truly or bona fide from you. And this is why, in some ways, I say it's a living thing. They create that. As much as you can feel in this room now, you know it to be your inner self. It's to say if somebody sends their inner self to you, it is a living thing. When you begin to self-study it, self-study means you can see the branches of the tree, you can see the leaves, you can see the branches that lead to the inner core of the tree. You can see then what you can see is the base of the tree. And from the base of the tree, you begin to study the inner core of its fiber, meaning it goes down into the depths of the ground. You find the roots. In the roots, you find the source from where it begins. Self-study finds the roots. And then from that, you know whether it's something that you want there or you don't want there, or the truth of what it is. By knowing the truth is where you begin to liberate yourself. It goes right back to the same thing. Why do you meditate? You meditate to separate yourself from these consciousnesses. Why do you practice what you practice? So that you could separate yourself from this. By separating yourself from this, you have a higher chance of finding inner truth. With inner truth comes liberation. With liberation comes enlightenment. Most things will be a reaction to life. That's what you're going to learn. If you begin the de-weeding process, you're going to find that there's not very much vegetation left in the end. But the vegetation that is left, and there will be vegetation in life, will be fruitful trees that can grow if you now give them the room to grow, and they will give you the fruits of life, the fruits of awakening, the fruits of enlightenment. Once you recognize something, instantaneously you have power over it. So you have to begin now to observe. Multitasking of a computer chip means that you can run multiple tasks at one time. Now, let's say you're doing an algorithm for some really big result, and now you're going to run a Microsoft Word processor, you're going to run different applications, you're surfing the internet, you're downloading other stuff. What's happening to the speed by which you're doing the big result project on? The more you multitask, what happens to the big project that you expect to be done in 5 minutes? All the other little multitasks that aren't necessarily necessary are taking away from you achieving to find enlightenment in this life. You're doing all these other things instead of focusing and allowing as much concentration of energy to be put into your ultimate goal. So you need to isolate by selective choice which are the best programs to leave running that will contribute to the algorithm's completion. And all the miscellaneous stuff that are actually distractions slowing down, feeding on that same amount of energy you have to finish the end product. Much, if you really use self-observation, are not necessary at all. You can remove yourself from things that are draining you and prevent things that are needlessly being drained and isolate it down to the things that are necessary. And then also your main algorithm, which is to get to your end result of enlightenment. So what I'm saying to you is yes, there are outside sources, things of necessity, working your job, feeding yourself, taking care of the basic things. But there are also a lot of things that you're not aware of that are all microprograms that you've forgotten about or feeding off of you or whatever that you could be shutting down. Drawing all that extra resources, if you found like raindrops in a bucket again, you would find a good amount of resource that you had no idea you were losing. That's self-observation. That's self-study. That's the reasoning for it. Through self-observation, you will find that you will control your thinking better. Somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you're thinking about these issues. How much consciousness you choose to give them is a whole other thing. When you sleep, there is a huge bandwidth of loss because your mind now is running on all the issues that you hadn't been really thinking about that much, or at least you didn't think you were thinking about. And the truth to the matter is, in the back recesses of your mind, you were thinking about them an awful lot. This is why they've bled in now into your dream states. So by removing them truthfully, you find true inner peace, and then you can concentrate that energy into better areas. Every spiritual lesson that you have, every technique you practice, really boils down to controlling thought in many ways, or the invocation of thought, and how it's going to project outward. All of the things that you learn are tools to help you achieve this goal. They're all designed, if you really think about it, to help you maintain thought control. I would sit down on a notepad and I would write how many ways you waste money. Again, as I said earlier about you being aware of when you're doing something bad and something good, you know you're doing it. You already know how you're doing things wrong. It's because you're choosing not to think about it. You're choosing to ignore it. So if you start writing down, I spend money on candy, I spend money on frivolous stuff, or I buy excessively, or I bought this, I bought that. Start writing it all down. That forces you to reflect on it. And what is now your intent? Why are you writing this all down? You're writing this all down because you're trying to find an answer to what you're doing frivolously. So the next time you do one of those things, what's going to happen is your little alarm in your head's going to say, I wrote this down on my list as something that I do that I shouldn't be doing. Now you have an active choice at that moment. Instead of working without consciousness and just reacting, which we call being asleep or in the machine, you're just doing, you've just been awoken. You set an alarm on that alarm clock to wake you up. Now, if you hit the alarm clock and you roll back over in bed, there's not much we can do. If you hit the alarm clock and you say, I have to get out of bed because it's a responsibility, you will then put down that object and you'll walk away. You'll say, I have to walk away. That's what I have to teach myself right now. 10 to 1, you'll do it. And again, it comes down to your willpower. That's how you begin to make change in your consciousness, is that you first have to invoke the recognition in your thought as to what you don't want to be doing. Now, if you don't write them all down on a list and you say, I'm just going to think about it, okay? You didn't manifest it into this reality. When you write something down on pen and paper, it has a profound ability to manifest itself in this dimension. Everything you're doing that you want to change is in this dimension. It's not just in your mind. It's your reaction with this dimension. So you're picking up the object and you're exchanging paper money. It's a physical reaction. If you mentally say, I'm just not going to do this, it's one thing. But if you manifest now with ink and paper that thought onto a piece of materialization, it has a different effect somehow with how you relate with other things in your life. And that's the best way to make change, is to write it down on paper. Physically manifest it in a paper form. It's now gone from this inner dimension of just pure electrical thought, and it has taken down some kind of molecular structure in this lower dimension. You've moved it from the inside out. When you buy something, what are you doing? You're buying something, and you're taking the outside and making it into inner gratification. You're going to either take it through your ears, through your eyes, through your smell, through your taste, through your touch. So it's some kind of inner gratification you're doing in your consciousness. So you need to reverse that program. It's the same way I say it. Take your hands. Make the movements. Change your frequency inwards instead of just letting your hands flip around during a conversation. If you write down the things that you want to change in your life on a piece of paper, it's the best way to make it possible. It's the fastest way to empower you. But do you know why most of you guys won't do this? Because deep inside of you, you have an enemy. And that enemy is saying, don't worry about it, you don't need to do it. It's the babbler. It's just a different way of getting you. And you'll say, nah, it's too much time, or I don't really feel like doing it. It's not going to make much of a difference. See if I'm right or wrong. And then post it up on the wall and get a pen. And every time you go and you know that you weren't supposed to do that, that you know that that's a habit, you put a check mark on it. did it again, did it again, did it again. And each time you put the check mark on there, it's going to have an effect on you. And you're going to say, I don't want to do this. It's manifesting it stronger into this outer reality. The same thing. What do you want to achieve rather than what you don't want to do? Write what you want to achieve in realistic terms and paper. You have to manifest what's in here out and what you want to change from the out in. It's a simple thing. You out with the old, in with the new. And it's the fastest, easiest way to do it. All the things you don't like about yourself, put on paper that you want to work on them. And if it's a huge list, after you write the huge list, number them 1 through 100. And then you're going to do 10 at a time. Or 5 at a time, or 2 at a time you're going to work on for 2 weeks. And then work on the next two, and work on the next two. And even if the other ones get bad again at the top, don't matter. Run through your list and then start over again. And it'll be easier to get back to 1 and 2 than it was to work on them the first 2 weeks. For you to master them will take you maybe 1 week then. The third time around, maybe it'll take 2 days. Eventually, you're going to achieve them. Eventually, you're going to progress. But you have to remember, the human brain is a machine. It has a mechanism. But most of all, how does it use its thinking process? It thinks in methods of tagging. I keep saying this over and over again. It's a very structuralized system. It's a very, not necessarily hierarchical, but a database of how it interprets things. And you need to project that outside of yourself so that anything that you observe, you must think in terms of how do you observe. Everything you observe outside of yourself and you bring it in. So when you take an inner problem and you project it out, the only way for you to reanalyze is to put it outside of yourself, look at it, and reinternalize it coming back in again. That's how you dissect it. If you think back to Socrates and to Plato, they really stood out. And it's not to mention that there was probably not hundreds, if not thousands, of other people who just never were noted, versus the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that existed. They were the forebringers. I think that your Socrates and Platos are all in this room now. We've evolved to that level. Everybody, in many cases in our society, is at some level of Plato or Socrates or some level of a higher breakthrough of consciousness that started with a few then. And sure enough that there will be more higher level beings already in another 100 years from now. How does that come to be? It comes to be through self-study, self-awareness, self-truth. It comes through self-reflection. I would say that there's more people on the earth now trying to find self-realization through other schools, other methods, than there ever has been in the history of man. In itself, if you look at it in the factor of numbers, what was once maybe a few hundred to a few thousand to a few hundred thousand now are probably in the millions. So already this progressive consciousness has begun. It's just dissecting it to what level of truth each one has found, but it certainly leaps and bounds majority-wise if you just look at it as a canvas concept compared to people already 100 years ago, nonetheless 1,000, 2,000 years ago. It's the process of Gaia having a better neurosystem. What I mean by that is it's the same way your brain achieved the same goal. You built a better neural system than the other animals on the planet. Your firing system of electrons in your brain, your complexities of processing got better. At first we were doing maybe clacking of tree trunks, you know, to communicate information. And then once in a while we would gather one time out of 4 years and walk hundreds of miles and send our brightest and our smartest and our greatest warriors to meet at some clan gathering. And if you look at that, you can see the beginnings of our neurosystem collectively sending data. Well, it's much the same way the brain kind of worked. It's similar to, in some ways, to how animals' brains work on a lower level compared to ours, in some ways not. But the point is that as we progressed, we created better and better ways of communicating information, but not only communicating information, but the bulk of information. So now all of a sudden, not only are we saying, you know, go to the river for fish, we're now saying if you go to the river for fish during the hours of such and such, or the moon will be such and such, you'll get a greater yield. And now we've increased the complexity even more. We're saying if you go there, we're going to say that during the summer at a certain day and a certain time that's been recorded and documented, we know it's going to be the best time. So we're getting more and more complex data that creates a higher evolutionary of shared information. If you look at the neural system building, we then started to develop from smoke signals to other forms of communicating. Morse code to communicating across continents by dropping fiber optic cables across the oceans like rope. this tying a greater synopsis of information, but how much condensed information could be done in books. Books were a huge part of this before even the fiber optics, because you could take not only information, but complex information, compressed information, and have it travel and then be reopened like an accordion in data, which is really a mimication of modern technology. What do we do with modern technology? We download packets of information, we have them decompress. It's the same thing how your brain, in a sense, works. You're taking all this information, it's compressing into your brain, and your brain thinks upon it, and it unfolds it. It decompresses it, and you, when you're done with it, you kind of forget about it. What happened? You stored it back in the recesses of your mind somewhere, it's compressing it. This process is how the evolution of the mind is working for the Gaia consciousness. So in the end, the better usage of this, the higher state of consciousness, comes from information. The information feeds the minor neurosystem, which again builds better and better systems. We are the byproduct as a people of that ingenuity. Our capability has improved. If you look at the skull of evolution, you will see how the brain adapted to a bigger brain, from one that's probably about the size of your fist, which was reptilian, and then you have then mammalian, which is a little bit larger than that, and then neocortex, which is the brain that you see with all the squiggly things. And why are they squiggled? They're squiggled and they interfold. It's because it's how it compresses data. It's all those neurons were so much, if we spread them all out, would be, you know, maybe 4 feet wide from our heads. So the reason why they curl in like a sponge is it's a way to hold more data pressing in. Our brains now are holding much more data, which again is a contribution of intelligence and information, which in turn creates a higher frequency of consciousness. Thought is living. So it's a way of holding living consciousness within this, residing in this physical body. I believe enlightenment in one part is contributed largely by the mechanism of the organism's potential of having that self-realization. When self-realization is achieved, even if you were to incarnate into a lesser intelligent vehicle that did not have the same dynamics as the one that you achieved consciousness, it doesn't matter. What will happen is that under certain levels of photography systems now, you see what looks like a gray static electrical charge around the head. What I'm suggesting is that's the true or higher being that you are, and that your limited amount, whatever that brain can handle, is what comes out in the reflection. The rest of it is all held in what I called hyperconsciousness. It's still there, but the body that you're manifesting in cannot give that data. It's to say that you have a TV that can give you 900 channels. Out of those 900 channels, can it give to us right now a cellular phone conversation that you can communicate through? No. Does that mean that information's not here? It's here. So the brain will whatever you have will be able to utilize whatever it can. When you die and leave that physical body, you will recollect full totality of your consciousness to the highest level that you've achieved in any of your lives. And anything that you might have experienced in a lower level that you weren't aware of is like reading a book. It just becomes asserted into your total consciousness, and it's just another part of you. The universe has an ultimate truth. How can I explain that is to say to you is that if you look at a conch shell, a seashell, and you cut it open, you see the spiralization of it. As I've showed to you, a galaxy, multi-galaxies, you see the same unification over and over and over again. That is a method of truth in a way for our universe. Do you see what I'm saying? As much as that is a method of truth in nature, you see, again, chaos theory, it's always reproducing itself, whether it's greater or smaller. So is there an inner truth to totality of consciousness for us. So as long as you are constantly leaving yourself open, even though if you're confident that you've completed everything, just this inner truth of constantly letting yourself open to the universe in and itself will help you to unfold anything you might have missed, and it'll surface to the truth, and you'll go, ah, you'll have an inner revelation. When you refuse to let that happen, or when you attempt to ignore that from happening, which everybody does, that's the problem. By controlling the babbler, you're controlling your inner mechanism that's part of the Gaia mind. You're not controlling Gaia. As you have the babbler moving inside of you, the static information, it's like multiple channels bleeding over each other. There's no difference from inside of you than outside of you. So all of it is you're blind to it. When you get the inner babbler under control, and you can think without thought, you can think with a higher consciousness, which I've taught you guys to do, it's a different kind of thinking, then inside of you has clarity. When you're inside of you, you have clarity. When you look outside of yourself, you can begin to separate all the static, and you can see whatever truth you choose to see within the Gaia mind. Your frequency has harmonized to the same frequency. Instead of you being one of the static channels within all the static channels, you've tuned in each station individually. They all slow down. Instead of being, they all slow down and they separate. And you can see the bands of truth, which each one, whichever one you want to access, you access it, and then you see micro bands of truth until you absorb whatever amount of information you require. So by clearing your inner self, it allows you to separate to see the outer side. When your frequency is just a static inside, it matches the outside. You have to define your inner self before you can see what's outside of you. There is a shortcut. The shortcut is just clearing your mind. But again, you need the tools to recognize how to find the shortcut. You know, I could say you have to cross the mountain range, okay? And in order to cross the mountain range, you're going to have to drive all the way around it, and it's a sure way of doing it. Or you could take the shortcut. What do you want to do? Well, the shortcut is only as good to you as if I tell you where it is. You still need a systematic amount of tools, in other words, to find even the shortcut. So, what I'm saying to you is that even a shortcut needs direction. The shortcut is on the north side of the mountain range. It's about X amount of 100 feet up. You'll see a cave. If you go down the cave, you go down. There's three paths. If you take the wrong one, you're going to be screwed. Take the one to the far right, follow all that way down, and it will open to the other side, and you will cut your journey by 100%. You know, it'll take hours off your trip. It doesn't matter. You still needed the direction in order to achieve that. Other schools of teaching, 30, 40, 50 years of this, and sometimes they never get it. Every day they meditate in monasteries, isolation, dedication to their path, and still never even begin to reflect as deeply as you are reflecting right now through this conversation. You're already on the shortcut.